May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading, especially these words. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, later on in Luke's gospel, a lawyer comes to Jesus and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asks him a question in return. He says, "What does the law say?" The lawyer replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says he got the answer right, but the lawyer goes on and asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus responds with the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan, the conclusion of which says, "Everyone is your neighbor." I bring that story up because I think something similar is happening here this morning in this gospel reading, but instead of the question, "Who is my neighbor?" this text causes us to ask the question, "Who is my enemy?" We think of enemies as those who are opposed to us in some way. But Jesus' instruction on how to respond to these enemies is quite striking. Someone may curse you. Jesus says you should bless them in return. Someone may strike you on the cheek. Jesus says give them the other cheek as well. Someone may take your cloak. Jesus says give them your tunic. To the one who takes your goods, do not demand them back. Primarily, I think Jesus has in mind here those who persecute you for his sake. That is, enemies of Christ and his church and his work. Do good to those who hate you, Jesus says. The church does not respond to its detractors, its persecutors, its haters with evil. We do not repay evil with evil, but we repay evil with good. The world may strike the church, may take our property, may curse us, may say all kinds of terrible things about us. And our response is to be grace and forgiveness. And while we may be able to identify enemies of the church, those who actively seek to thwart God's work, we may consider some to be our personal enemies. The situations that Jesus describes remind us that personal relationships can also be difficult. There may be a person that everyone else seems to like and you just can't stand. There are people you would rather avoid, people you just don't get, people whose views on the world seem to make no sense to you. There may be even people you flat out don't like. People in your home, your extended family, in your church, in your community that you just can't deal with. Maybe they have wronged you in some way. Maybe they have hurt someone you love. But are they truly enemies? That's a pretty strong word, enemy. Who is your enemy? Jesus goes on to teach that it's very easy and in fact natural to love those who love you. It's easy to do good to those who do good to you. It's easy to lend to those from whom you know you will receive it back. But so what? Sinners do the same. The ungodly, the unbeliever, does the same thing. But Jesus says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Our Old Testament lesson gives us quite an illustration of what it means to love one's so-called enemies. Joseph certainly could have counted his brothers as enemies. No doubt his brothers assumed that Joseph did consider them that way. After all, when he was only 17 years old, his 10 brothers plotted to kill him, threw him into a cistern. And only because of Judah, his brother, was he saved when he convinced them to sell Joseph into slavery instead of killing him. course, the story they told Jacob was that he was dead. Joseph wound up in Egypt, a slave, a servant, a prisoner for a while. But now at this point in the story, Joseph is ruler over all of Egypt, second in command only to Pharaoh. And what does he do with that power when his brothers show up? His brothers, who don't even know who he is, his brothers who assume he must be dead by now, what does he do when they come showing up looking for food? Does Joseph seek revenge for the wrong they did to him? Does he sell them as slaves as they did to him? Does he make them his servants as he rightly could have? No. He regards them as brothers, not as slaves. He welcomes them. He feasts with them. He reveals himself to them. He forgives them. He saves them, literally, from the famine. In fact, Joseph tells his brothers that the Almighty, all-knowing God has taken their sin, has taken their evil, and completely turned the tables on it. He has taken what they have done and used it according to his will and made good come from it to save many people. Joseph says to his brothers in Genesis 50, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." What about us? What about our enemies? Well, I dare say we all have at least one enemy. According to our sinful nature, we are God's enemies. Sin is rebellion against God. Our failure to forgive, the very desire that we have to repay evil with evil, our wish that those rotten sinners out there would get a heavy dose of God's wrath instead of his mercy, those things make us God's enemies. We are by nature sinful and unclean, and by nature our will stands in opposition to God's will. Consider Jesus' other parable in Luke, the parable of the prodigal son. As you know, one son takes his inheritance, squanders it on unholy living. The other stays behind and works diligently and does everything he's supposed to do for his father. And when the squanderer comes to his senses and returns home, the father welcomes him with open arms. What does the brother do? Does he welcome and rejoice with his brother as Joseph did with his brothers? No. He grumbles and pouts that this rotten brother received his father's mercy instead of his wrath. Are we often any better? But Joseph's account of his interaction with his brothers is not merely a model for us. The parable of the prodigal son is not only to teach us to act like the father and not like the older brother, but these accounts actually show us what God is like. They give us a picture of Christ. St. Paul writes this, "For if we, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." You see, God loves his enemies. The words he speaks to us in the gospel lesson, he actually does. He loves his enemies, namely us. Loves us not only by sending us what we need to support this body and life, but comes to us himself in the person of his Son. Jesus comes into enemy territory and brings not war, but peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace upon those with whom he is well pleased. That's what the angels sang at Jesus' birth. Jesus did good to those who hated him. He takes the axe that the Jewish authorities and the Roman soldiers meant for evil and turns them into good, the good of your salvation. He endures the slaps to the cheek, the lashes to the back, the thorns pressed into the brow. And does he repay evil for evil? In fulfillment of his own words from our gospel lesson, Jesus does good to those who hate him. He prays for those who abuse him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He dies and forgives the very sins of the ones who kill him. No longer is God at war with us and we with God, for Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, says Jesus. The mercy and love and forgiveness that has been given to us, we now reflect to others. For Christ's death and resurrection changes how we see the world. For we know that this world is not the end. We don't need to go about this life getting everything we can out of it, cursing those who curse us, doing wrong to those who do wrong, because we have an eternal life, a hope that is to come. Christ is the first fruit from the dead, and he will raise you from the dead. As our intro, it says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers." We don't need to fret and be anxious about all those who would wrong us, our so-called enemies. They can't do anything to us, at least not permanently. But we can do something for them. Love, forgive, show mercy, speak the word of God, that those outside the church may enjoy with us the resurrection of the dead. If vengeance needs to be exacted, the Lord will do it. You don't have to. Christ will reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, says St. Paul. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So I ask you again, who is your enemy? Is there anyone that God does not love? No. Is there anyone for whom Christ has not died? No. There should be no enemies among us here. And for those outside the church, the peace of God is still there for them. The blood of Christ still avails for them. And the task of the church is to lead people to realize that because of Jesus, God is not their enemy. In essence, God has turned all of our enemies into our neighbors. And if you do count someone your enemy, you're supposed to treat them like your neighbor anyway. Jesus says, love them. If someone abuses you or does wrong to you, Jesus says, pray for them. If someone hurts you, Jesus says, do good to them. Love your neighbor as yourself, not by your own power, but by reflecting the love that Christ has for you. Really, the only enemies left to us are sin, death, and the devil. And though they still linger and cause us so much grief, Christ has defeated them for us. For we are righteous in God's sight, because we have been clothed with Christ's righteousness in our baptism. He loves us. He shows mercy to us despite our rebellion. Praise be to God that we are his friends, his beloved children, and no longer his enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.